Welcome to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast, where we discuss various dog training topics to help you become the best leader for your dog. Marvin Pierce has over 20 years of experience with obedience training for dogs located in the Sherwood, Oregon area. Offering private lessons and group clinics, the dog teacher has been able to change the lives of dog owners by helping them develop and maintain an obedient dog. For more information, contact us at marvinpiercedogteacher.com.
It's too hot.
You know, I like it.
If it stayed under 70.
I like it up to, if it's a hot day, 80s, okay.
I don't like 80.
I'd rather have 70, you know.
70, 75, but maybe.
A little bit cloudy sometimes would be nice. No. A little bit of rain.
Even the dogs, they like pant and they're ready to come in. And it starts raining. We get a little bit of mud.
Yeah,
the grass is green. They'll run and love life, and they like getting muddy and wet and running in the rain. It's my time of year. I was born in October. I don't know if that's why.
Blame it on what?
I was born in October.
Oh, maybe.
So maybe that's why.
Hit the ground in wet
water. It's just too hot in the valley. It is too hot. I don't love it. I could not live in Arizona. Louisiana.
You know what's weird with Texas? I never really remembered it being bad when I was down there last winter. It was like freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's just terrible.
I don't need it to be 10 degrees either. I mean, beggars can't be choosers, but I'd rather take the cold.
You know, that's really why they created a heat and air conditioner, so you could have what you want if you go inside.
True, yeah. But dogs have to go outside. They should. People should go outside, too. Yeah, you should go outside.
That's what I'll tell you all the time. You're like, no, I want to stay in the air conditioner. So, Brett, what are you on, Instagram or YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So do we just ditch Facebook now?
Yeah.
And do we tell the Facebook people that we're Instagram living?
Well, I think you should.
Okay.
We did. We posted an hour and a half early.
Okay.
I should post it on my personal page because I have a few personal people that lean over there once in a while. But no, they just think we quit.
We get Facebook a chance for a year and a half, man.
Yeah. And what happened to it?
It's not our internet. It's Facebook Live is what we have. Audio troubles with.
Is that why people don't do Facebook issues. Live?
I'm not an expert on it. I just know from our experience it does not work really good.
Well, people will catch up with us, I guess. I don't know what the difference is, really. Why don't we do YouTube Live?
We can. We can do that.
Yeah, we can.
But, I mean, here a while back, didn't we try to do something and we weren't qualified to? Was that YouTube that you was going to go on, Brett? TikTok or something?
I have no idea.
And they said we weren't signed up for it?
I think it was YouTube.
Yeah, we just worked because we don't ever do it. But then we don't have to do it. It don't matter to me where we go. But we have some issues. We have some
things. We do have some issues.
Yeah, we always have issues. But we have things that we want to talk about with the dog training world. And I know for a fact this is one of the hardest things for people. Regardless of what you're doing, whether you're trying to train your dog or quit drinking or quit eating pizza or whatever you try to do, and you just put yourself back in a situation to get yourself in trouble or to lean over to the other side, you know, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. John, are you listening to me too?
I am. I'm posting on Facebook the link to Instagram Live. I am listening.
Uh-oh.
But
people, whenever they do a dog, they get a dog rehab, whatever, you know, you send it here to board and train it, and then you take it home. And we always, and I mean I always, no one ever left here that we'd have it preached at about going back to the old ways too soon. You know, and people, well, how long do I got to do it? I got to do it for life? No, you don't have to do it for life, but you've got to do it until you start winning, you know. If you can't, when you take your dog home, if you're not winning already, you darn sure don't want to start giving it cheeseburgers and letting it on the bed and the couch and letting it lunge on the end of your leash at other dogs and leave it outside the crate all the time and just let it free range again. If you do those things, then you're darn sure not going to win. It doesn't matter what we did, you know. In any training program, it doesn't matter if you go home and you don't follow the guidelines that we give you. And we have people I think the hard thing is for people to get the idea of is when they go home, their dog's doing so good, they start giving him all these privileges thinking that he's fixed. And he's not fixed because they, for me, I say, and I don't know right or wrong, but I say that owner hasn't earned the privileges to treat their dogs like we can.
Right. Right.
And that's what it comes down to. It's just that you haven't done it what we recommended consistently enough for long enough to earn those privileges. I mean, that's what it is. I don't know if that's a nice way to say it, but...
Well, when your dog goes home from training, you and your dog are on a better path, but you have not established all of this new lifestyle at home. Your dog's used to it because they've been doing it here, but the dog will so much fast, the dog and owner will so much faster fall off the bandwagon than they will stay on. And you say that the people think the dog is fixed because they're doing so much better. What's terrible is that most of the time, the dogs are doing better than they were, but things were so messy before that they still have a lot of room to improve they go home. But rather than saying, we're doing so good, let's keep doing better, they pick what we send them home with a guideline. They pick what things to take off the guideline because the dog is doing better. Without understanding that the guideline is what got your dog there. Yeah. That's what got them to be able to do better.
Well, they pick and choose what they want, what feels good for them, and what makes it easier on them, too. Yeah. You know, and I've told people before, flat out, you know, that when you come meet us, if you're not willing to put the work in when your dog goes home, then you're really not going to win, you know. Doesn't matter what we do. Yeah. And we give you ideas of what those look like, you know, crate your dog a lot, get your dog out, train your dog a lot, exercise your dog, place your dog a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what?
Go play ball, frisbee, take your dog swimming, dock diving, whatever you want to do to have fun with them. But you've got to always be the leader in those situations.
What's so hard for me, the number one thing that owners have a hard time with is the crate.
It is.
And what's so hard is that the crate is not this magical thing that fixes you and your dog, but people are so I shouldn't say that. That's not very nice.
No, it's not nice.
The people lack leadership and experience in how to make a dog behave and how to be a leader to a dog. You can have an owner who's a solid person leader. They have their top tier at their work. They manage a company. They're super successful in a lot of areas of life. They're fit at the gym. Their nutrition is on point. But for some reason, the one category is the dog, where it all kind of goes to shit.
But they don't have the experience. But do you know why people get a dog?
But hang on. The experience of they lack the experience or the ability or desire to lead a dog. The crate isn't what makes your dog good.
100%. But most people do not go get a puppy to put the time and effort in to make it a cool dog.
Right.
They get a puppy to pet, hug, play, feed cheeseburgers and treats, and take it around and show Joe Bob they got a cool puppy and let it run through the house and romp
give it
and play.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not put that time and effort into making it good.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, like you said, you can't stuff your dog in a crate and have a good dog.
Right.
And that's what we always tell people. We crate train them here pretty much, majority of the dogs. So some of the dogs can't even get in a crate. They'll eat a crate.
Mm-hmm.
But we crate train them while they're here. We teach them to lay in a crate and be good while we train other dogs all the time. We teach them lay in place while we train other dogs. And, you know, when you take that dog home and we talk about crating it, the dog, most of the time, is crated, so you will leave it alone.
Right, right.
And it
right.
can leave you alone right. because you're not right. aggravating it to pet right. it to be petted, you right. know. And the dog can go in there and relax. If your dog's in the crate doing backflips, cartwheels, screaming, hollering, barking, eating the crate, then you need to get a hold of us and we need to figure out why.
Right. And we know you're not going to spend 7 to 8 hours out of a 14-hour day making your dog behave and have manners.
Right.
You're going to dote on them. You're going to answer when they bark at the toilet paper roll. You're going to answer when they bark at the door to go out potty. You're going to answer when they bark for dinner time. Most people think it's comedy when their dog starts barking at 4:30 and they're like, oh, they know it's dinner time. That you're rewarding the dog demanding something. And so it's just hard for me because the one thing our customers have the most, our customers have a harder time putting their dog in a crate than they do even kicking them off the bed.
They do.
They don't want, not all of you, a lot of you are doing awesome, but there are some that are struggling and the crate is where they're struggling and the crate is not what fixes it. If you could step up and be a kick-ass leader, you don't have to have your crate dog in the crate a majority of the day.
Right.
You could,
or it's life. Either.
Yeah.
I mean, once you
yeah,
get your dog cool.
Yeah.
And I talk about Jody's dog's Trin. She had Rio. And Rio sleeps in the back porch. And she don't always sleep in a crate. She has a crate in there with a canine ballistic bed in it. And
yeah.
Part of the time she's in there. And part of the time she's laying out on the carpet sleeping, you know.
Most of the time but, she chooses the crate,
yeah,
though.
She
yeah.
does. And she don't bark and raise hell back yeah, there no. wanting a house no. or wanting outside. Yeah. I mean, but... For her, the reason that she don't is because she grew up as a cow dog. My wife used her when we cowboyed a lot. And she rode around in my wife's vehicles a lot with her and hung out with her when she was out doing chores and doing yard work and gardening, you know. And she was loose outside, but for years she had an e-collar, an electric collar, so my wife could keep track of her. And my wife always kept track of her. She couldn't just run across the farm like she does now and go lollygag around, you know. But you've got to start with that. For me, the crate training, you take your dog out, you let them play, you keep them close, you don't let them run through the forest and run away,
yeah.
and, you know, you just have to...
That's such a good example, because Jody could have Rio loose all day and would not have problems, but Jody's busy. She's gardening, you yeah. said, she's working on the farm, she's doing chores, she's not spending 8 hours... Rio, you're so cute. I love you
right,
so much.
Yeah.
Do you need a piece of bacon? Do you need 57 treats? Do you need a new chew toy from Wilco? Do you need... And Jody spoils Rio.
Yes, she does. She,
but,
and I tell people
but she
that,
does,
you know.
She didn't raise
but
her...
But Rio earned the being
yeah,
spoiled.
Yeah.
You know,
she got respect from the dog
yeah,
first.
But, and she didn't just start out this way. And that's the hardest thing, like I said, for people. You know, we deal... Now, I don't even know if we... what percentage of really bad dogs we get, not near as many as we did, you know, it seemed like, because
we
only...
It ebbs and flows.
We only take so many at a time, but it's just really hard for people that has this dog that's bit 10 or 15 people to understand how much work they've got to put into it to fix it. But then we have other people that don't care how much work it is. They're like, you just guide and we'll follow, you know, and they do it and they end up successful. And if you, the owners, really got to put a lot of time in that.
So we talked about not rushing rehab. So you have a dog that goes through board and train. They have a lot of major problems. They dog fight, they bite people, they... don't go in the crate. Well, they have separation anxiety. Let's say you go home. You're human, right? So let's say you go home and you do what I did. I took Scout home and he was doing so much better. And I think it was like the UPS guy or something came and asked if he could pet him, and I said yes, and Scout kind of snarled at him, and it set me back for 3 weeks. But I rushed that. He wasn't ready to have people in his face. He wasn't ready to have interactions with strangers. He was doing so good, and I was taking all that pressure off of him. But then I was like, he's doing so good.
Yeah,
let's just jump in and be stupid. what would you tell someone who made a oopsie? They didn't go home and, just throw everything away.
And I'm going to use Blue and Blaze, you know, the two boxers.
We've worked
with those people so much, and they came for so many lessons. And they really follow through. They do. They just follow, keep it on. And I'm going to throw them under a bus. I mean, I don't think they care because they come back and ask, you know. And this time they didn't have to ask his wife.
This is a perfect example James of what wife, I'm talking I can't remember about.
Her name.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Krista.
Krista?
Yeah.
Krista brought Blaze over today and dropped him off for the day to get bathed. And I asked her how they were doing. Well, they were doing really good, and then they got in a fight again. And they've been in numerous fights, but they couldn't even have them together. Now they can have them together, but... The mistake made was, and it's been, what, 2 or 3 months since they've started, or 4 months since the
first
time? They've
been successful, yeah.
They've had really good success, and they've had a few fallbacks, you know, but the fallbacks each time for me is a learning experience. This time they had Blaze out with them, and I think there was 4 other couples there or something.
Yeah.
And Blaze was hanging with them, and then whenever she went and got Blue and turned him loose, and when Blue come around the corner, Blaze launched and attacked. Because Blaze did not, and Blaze is a pup, is 14, 16 months old right now, but he didn't want Blaze didn't want Blue joining his party of people, and so Blaze attacked. And for me, you know, me and Krista talked about it, and I said, well, I think that it was overbearing, you know. It's just too much for him. You should have started out with maybe one person.
Blue might have came out shaking the tequila bottle, too.
Yeah, I could have, but I...
maybe.
Could have been both, but I think that if they would have started out with one other person or one other couple and invited both dogs in... And
not such a high...
Had the e-collars on them and made sure everything was controlled before they started, you know. I think they would have had a lot bigger.
Something you could do that's so simple to maybe have a different outcome is if you're bringing both your dogs out at a party, bring them out and place them, let them go in, integrate later. Right?
Yes, for sure. But I think that you've got to always have the e-collar on.
Right.
You got to have the controller, and you got to be ready to stop it before it escalates.
But rather than letting them just go bam,
say
hi to each other excited.
Have less people there, you know.
Yeah.
And even like you're talking of placing them both, you know, it's a really good idea as long as you are cautious and watch that they're not laying there staring one another down, you know, while they're in place. And and for me, whenever you let them off place, you got to be like, hey, I'm watching. You got to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can't just lead let them the up room. And walk off, start a conversation with somebody.
That's an example of people who went home, didn't purposely throw them in the drunk tank.
And we always
had
an
incident.
We have people quite often that, and we'll use Gabe this time.
But hang on, finish what we're talking about with that one. Those are people who, they went home, they follow through, they didn't throw everything away.
Right.
They had an incident.
They just took a step too fast, too quick. But they step back, and now they understand why, and now they're going to fix that.
But it's no big deal.
No,
it's not. They've done so well, and they didn't throw everything away.
They didn't be like, oh, my God, I can't ever do dogs out around people again. Right. They're like, what do we do here?
And I think James knows to just get them back out.
Yeah, well, they've already got them out together
since
that incident, and they don't even worry about it.
If they didn't, I know you're on to the next thing. But
I'm on the same thing, another one.
If they didn't follow through on so much, it wouldn't be so simple to just go back to normal.
At first, they didn't put them back together. They brought them back to us.
They still have all the structure. Mm-hmm. They still have everything going good. They had one little oopsie, but they can reset really easy because they didn't throw the guideline away.
Right.
They still
just
have the guideline.
It the whole time. Right. And I tell people all the time, when you go a little bit too far, just back up a little bit and regroup and go again.
Yeah.
But with Gabe, it was the same way when he took
Gemma
home.
Rottweiler.
He took her out in a walk in the neighborhood where the batter dogs was, behind fences normally, that me and Bianca could walk Gemma by, but Gabe really struggled with it. But part of his issues was he wasn't crating his dog enough.
Right.
And
right.
So
or
it really,
placing.
It really showed, you know. And so now he crated his dog more, and now he can walk his dog better, and he comes up and works with us when he gets a chance with his dog, and
right.
he has a lot of fun with it. And the biggest thing is for people when they get in these situations, you can't just quit and think the system's broke, you know?
Right.
You got to figure out what did I do that I can do differently or back up a step and address that. So, Bianca, we got anything?
Yes. Mariah said a lot of the times dogs will end up enjoying their crate anyways because it's where they do get left alone and they can relax. Most people have a hard time realizing a dog with too much freedom is usually stressed and not knowing what to do with themselves, constantly on alert, unable to truly relax because of their owner has taught them to be at all times. Yeah, our buddy from the grooming show.
Thanks.
But that's Mariah, that's what I was talking about earlier with the people and their dogs. Is people don't understand how much, and even Bianca touched on how much dogs learn to enjoy their crate because people are not sitting there petting on them, hugging on them, and aggravating them, and the dog don't have to have one eye halfway open and one ear cocked waiting for you to breathe or move or the world to come to an end. They can actually go in there and you shut the door and they can go to sleep and relax. So.
Right.
Anything else, Bianca?
Since you brought up Gabe and Gemma, let's talk about how much Gabe's attitude and confidence correlates to his being okay in
rehab.
Well,
it's both.
With this dog.
Makes it better, but then it makes it worse because he, it's kind of, it reminds me of you in some ways. He don't accept not winning, so you try too hard. And I've seen that somewhere. Must have been on one of my notes I was reading earlier. We try too hard and we beat ourselves up. You know, does that make mm-hmm. sense? And so then you push yourself a little bit further than your dog's ready to go. And that's what I talked about earlier. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you're willing to back up and get a good group and then move yourself forward.
But you can't back up and regroup if you don't have the confidence to do so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The whole thing is what makes Gabe so good and James and him so good is they have confidence in the program. They see it works, mm-hmm. you know, and they understand that a lot of the issue is the owner, not the dog or the trainer.
Right.
It's themselves. So you've got to be willing, in my world, to accept that. And you've got to be able to work through it. But you can't hardly, well, I don't know how you can work through it if you just want to sit around and hug your dog and tell him it's okay, we'll be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's not even so much what I mean by lack of confidence. If someone takes their dog home, let's use Lana as an example. She's doing so good not reacting towards any dogs, right? Oh, it's the dog. She's scratching. I was like, who's knocking at your door? Everyone just walks in
at
Marvin's,
Lana,
so I could not believe somebody was just knocking at the door.
Do they follow us?
I don't know. He might, but...
if he does, you know, the fun thing about... Go ahead and say what you're going to say about Lana.
So, Lana, as an example, I'm not saying that they will do this. This dog's here still and has not gone home. But if he took Lana home... and he's following the program, and she's doing good, he puts her in too high pressure of a situation. Let's say his buddy calls him and is like, hey, I got this new puppy. You want Lana to meet my new puppy? And he's like, yeah, sure, she's doing so good. I'll take her over and let this little puppy annoy the shit out of her. And I'm not saying this guy did this at all, just using an example. Let's say he does that. Lana attacks the puppy because the puppy irritates her, and then he goes recluse mode and is now way too nervous, doesn't have the confidence to get her back out, is afraid to even take her on walks because now she's starting to be reactive again. The confidence to be able to just get back to it sometimes is what the dog needs, don't you think?
Yes, but I feel with Lana, that would be such a devastating thing that he would have to bring.
I know, I'm not saying that he would do that.
No, but I'm saying if he did, it's something that he would probably not be able to fix so well. You know, it's not, I think that for me, like with Lana, I would go back to the leash reactor. Like she'll jerk him down if she sees a dog wanting to go kill it, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
If he got in that situation, he could regroup and go to another neighborhood.
So you're saying if he made a major mistake, he couldn't recover from it?
Well, it would be hard for Lana to recover with a dog fight.
I don't agree.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. That's everybody has
their thoughts. What I'm saying, though, is that you can have an accident, and if you get right back to what you're doing, and even if you needed to ask for help.
Well, I think he would.
But that's fine.
No, that's what I'm saying. He would need to.
You're saying he couldn't fix that on his own if he made that major mistake.
I won't say he can't, because anything's
possible. This is terrible,
because
we're not using this guy as an example. Right. I just brought up this dog.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, we're
she's
not using
so
the guy at
dog
all.
Reactive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where leash reactive, like Gabe had with his dog, is a lot easier to back up and go to another neighborhood, you know what I mean? And then go back to that neighborhood.
Without help, you're saying, though. Yeah.
With just a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times they'll call, what should we do?
Yeah.
Yeah, email, whatever. Yeah. Then we're like, go to a different neighborhood for a while, come up, walk your dogs around to join our dog.
Right. I wasn't meaning on their own entirely. I was just saying, like, sometimes the incident where you have a mistake is so traumatizing.
It is, on the owner.
And if you're not able to come out of that and just say, oof, I fucked up.
Yeah.
I need to reset.
Really back up and regroup, you know?
Yep.
And it's so much. But
and not be afraid to go back to what you were doing. Right. You know, not be if you were having really good walks with your dog, you did something crazy, took him to the beach and let him get charged by three off-leash dogs, you shouldn't hide.
No, but you just got to watch where you go. And that's the hardest thing about people with dogs like Lana, Luna, Astro, was it Remy that was real dog aggressive?
Human more so.
But any dog reactive, dog aggressive dog towards dogs, it's so hard for people, even when you put all the time, money, and effort into training them, and you go out there and Joe Bob's off-leash dog runs up to your dog, and your dog has more of a tendency to fight because he's been into so many fights.
And
even though Joe Bob's dog wants to come and lick him, your dog does not know
that. Right.
So he's already on the fence.
And when we get the dogs that need serious rehab, we're part of why we're talking about not rushing the rehab is because we've put your dog on a path that the dog is already less on edge and doesn't expect to have a dog fight with every dog that it interacts with. And it knows that if we walk them, we're not going to let any dogs approach. We're going to walk confidently through different situations. You have to behave and be respectful on the leash. Ignore the surroundings we put you in. But we're not going to let you just get charged and beat up. And we give them a chance to kind of go, okay, I don't have to fight every dog in the neighborhood anymore. So then you have to continue chalking up positive experiences
so
your dog can be less and less and less on edge, which is why we say don't rush the rehab. Because if you have someone who's a dog who's becoming less and less on edge, but they used to live life on the edge and were afraid every dog that came around the corner was going to eat them or they had to fight them, they don't just come out of a 3-week boarding train perfectly confident around any dog they see. You're just continuing them on the path of not thinking your neighborhood is a war zone.
Yeah, because most of the time we take these dogs to town and we have them around dogs they don't know. And we make sure they're good on a leash, you know.
Right.
We
make sure they're good on a leash before we put them in town situations.
Yes. Well, for sure. We always train on them here and then we take them to town. But not always, because I have been known to have one in town that somebody else owned and was walking and I would help them, you know, just to I don't know, just because I wanted to, I guess, or bored, or whatever the case may be. But anytime you get in these situations, and you put your dog into a high stress situation too soon, like you're talking, it's, for me, there's not a lot of reason for it.
Right.
You know, if you take your dog home and a week later you're like, golly, I was down at the dog park and there was 15 dogs playing and I was trying to walk around the outside fence with my dog and my dog lost his shit. It's like, well, shouldn't have been there to start with. You right. know, it's really hard for these dogs to go to a dog park and go in the fence because there's a lot of chance they're getting a fight. Or they think they are and they'll start a fight because the dog runs up at them. Or you're walking around outside the fence and before you know it, your leash is getting tighter and tighter and tighter and there's five dogs inside the fence running over at the fence, barking at your dog, and a lot, maybe your dog just wants to go play, but you've got prong collars and pinch collars and shock collars and your or slip rope or harness on your dog. Well, it don't matter what you have on them, but you're just restraining them, dragging them away, dragging them away, dragging them away. The dog gets madder, 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 and then they'll get themselves in trouble. And for me, you've only made a bad mistake, you know, but it's not the end of the world. Just get yourself out of there and go take your dog for a nice walk and back up and regroup. Or if you need to call us, you know, and we'll try to help you walk, talk you through it, or you can come do a lesson or whatever and get out of it. But anytime you get your dog into high stress, it's just for the same difference as if your dog is scared of the whole world and you get your dog out of boarding training, you race him up to Home Depot, you know, and shopping carts or whatever you call them, carts or lumber carts are running around everywhere and people run into walls and trying to run over your dog and you're trying to make your dog heal perfectly and nothing's going right, you know. You might have ought to practice that at home or in your house or out on your sidewalks or down at the river, you know, is a good spot to go or anywhere where it's not a high traffic, high stress situation to get your dog used to things. So, all right, Bianca. Got anything you want to add?
I have puppy subjects. Do you have any other subjects you want to talk about?
Well, I do, but I probably shouldn't because I've been in a good mood all day. I ain't been pissed off. It's kind of unusual around here. I think that people, regardless of where you train, I'm just going to add this to it. And we prove it with your dog, Scout, how bad he used to be and how cool he is.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk, we're going to talk both sides of the fence.
Oh, boy, okay.
Yeah. Remember how
are
bad...
Are we arguing or...
No, not at all, not at all. There's not even a debate about it. It's just a fact.
Okay.
You know how cool your dog is now, Scout. Yeah. We can take him out with pretty much any dog and stay out of trouble.
Oh, totally.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
And but it's because of what you put into him as far as your effort and money and time and training, and you've learned so much about that type of dog now. You train dogs like that, and you do really well with them. So then you get a dog like Brett's dog, Rue. With Rue, it's kind of a fact that she could go off any given minute on a dog.
Yeah.
That has, I don't know, it looks at her wrong, the dog's eyes are the wrong color.
A new dog.
One toenail's too short,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But Rue's a super, super cool dog. I mean, I think you can walk her anywhere, huh, Brett?
Yeah, for sure, on leash.
You can go anywhere with her on leash. Yeah. You can go anywhere with her off leash.
Yeah, if we can
keep
other dogs off.
And
control
of her and make other dogs leave her alone.
Yeah, yeah.
So here you have a dog that a lot of people would have put her down.
For sure, yeah.
But she's cool.
Yeah.
But you just can't go do with her what we do with Scout, Bear, Tilly, Mark.
No, we don't live a very simple life with her socially.
Right.
But she gets along with all of our dogs.
Yeah.
We've made some mistakes where she didn't get along with Rebel, but it was human error. We fixed it. No problems now. Oh.
So just because you have a dog that gets into this or that or this or that and you can't fix it, which I, you know, I've trained dogs for a long time and I've trained lots of dogs and lots of different behavior dogs and I'm not sure what makes Rue click. My ideas and my...
She's one of the most different dogs.
Well, I think she just got a screw that's not quite tight.
For sure.
It won't fall out, so she don't just blow up and try to kill every dog.
Yeah.
I think once in a while it rattles in her head and makes her mad. And she
but never with the ones that we've integrated over time.
Yeah.
And that are stable. If it's a stable dog, like Mariah left. Mariah Shore left. And before she left this job, her Concho and Rue were buddies. Rue hasn't seen Concho in months, and Mariah said, "Can I take Rue and Concho out together?" And I was like, Like, Rue doesn't really ever go after dogs that aren't stable. Concho's stable still. But I was like, she could treat it like it's a new dog because she hasn't seen him in 6 months. And I said, play at your own risk, man. I said, if they get in a dog bite, you're dealing with it. I'm not dealing with it. If I felt like Concho was unstable, I probably would have said, no, that's a bad idea, you know. And I can pretty much tell you what dogs she will go after or what happens that triggers her mind to go after them. Like the other night, she got grumpy with Cash, but she got grumpy with Cash because she got in trouble. She took it out on him. And it was so obvious, one step after another. She was like, "You little shit, I got in trouble."
And so how did Concho and Rue go?
No problem whatsoever. Okay. Not a problem whatsoever. So but Concho is stable. Rue is really good around dogs that are stable. Rebel is not quite. This pains me to say this. But Rebel is not quite stable because of me. And so I feel that sometimes when her and Rebel are having a moment, it's because my instability trickles over into my pack. And luckily I've worked with Scout and Tilly enough that they're like kind of
unfazed by it. They don't mind you no more. It's like, that's the way she is.
Yeah.
And for me, so the moral of the story was, is just all dogs are not just stable.
They're not created equal.
And somebody says they are. I don't know that they've not met Rue and Tilly and a few other dogs I've known in my life.
Yeah.
The thing is, like Brett with Rue, I mean, I've told him a few times that if I was in his spot, I would find Rue at home that's not as high traffic, crazy
not
lifestyle.
Not so many dogs.
And let Rue live happily ever after because she's a super cool dog. And she has a good life here. Brett goes and plays ball and frisbee and lets her run and play.
And he's kind of like weighed his options on rehoming her. And his options are getting a puppy, and he doesn't have to, like, there's no headache with Rue if he doesn't play stupid games.
But you know the bad thing about it, if Brett gets a puppy, Bianca's going to have another dog, and Brett ain't going to have a dog, because Bianca's going to take it over and train it, and you know what I mean?
You think Brett would let me train his puppy?
Well, I don't know if it's a let, or if you just do it when he ain't looking, you know what I mean? I would hope him good luck.
You could have heard me in the neighbor's pasture today because I don't train on Rue because it's his dog and it's not my problem. And I told that dog the kennel and she went and laid down by the garden. And I was like, goddamn husband's dog doesn't listen to
me. That's good job, Brett. So, okay, what are you going to talk about puppies, Bianca? We got it.
I would not train on... Dinner's not even ready. Calm down. I would not train on his dog because I feel... He'll probably argue with me on this, but I feel like if I trained on his dog too much, it would respect me more than him.
That's what I said. It would be your dog and not his.
Yeah.
Me and Jody ran through that our whole time we've been together. Yeah. I don't go with her dogs.
Yeah.
I show her how to do it, and then we argue about it.
Yeah.
And then she kind of halfway listens when I ain't looking. So.
Yeah.
Mariah said, I thought the same thing about puppies, yet here I am with the healer that's 100% mine.
Yeah.
You think I have a dog collecting problem?
I told Bianca Mariah the other day, she definitely got a problem.
Do you know who Mora Adventures is by chance?
Who?
Mora Adventures. They're requesting to be on a video with us at the moment. I don't know who that is, but...
Sounds familiar. I think they're probably doing that on accident. I think that that's...
Well, they want to join us?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that we want to just let somebody join it. We don't know.
Oh, I sure think I know who it is, but I can't think
of it. Well, I think I know, but I know I don't.
If we were going to have somebody hop on here, that would be a planned thing where we would host someone. So if you want to join us on Instagram, send an email, and
we'll be glad to try to.
We'll get in touch.
As long as we're not getting on a big, huge debate over disagreeing.
Yeah, I don't think she's doing it on purpose. I think it's Harlow's mom. She's just watching it with us.
Harlow?
She's not trying to get on Instagram Live. Yeah. Hi, Heather.
Harlow?
The dog that just got dropped off from Wyoming.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, you could always join us if you'd like.
Yeah, she can join us.
She probably thinks we're talking about her since we talked about Creighton. But we're, you know.
I didn't even know about what was happening.
Well, I've done that with people, though, when I've talked about a couple one time arguing in a round pen and a lesson, you know. And Hull is like five people have been like, you talking about us? I'm like, no. Well, could be, but I'm not, you know, because there's so many people makes the same mistake, you know. So, Bianca, let's talk about your puppy talking.
Okay, so...
Bianca had a book written.
Are you, like, can you stay with me for this? Because I know puppy training is, like, pretty exciting for you. So, I don't want you to pass out from excitement.
I'm sitting here.
I want to talk about... If you're going to make spaghetti, do you, like, turn the stove on and then check to see if you have beef and tomato sauce?
Are you talking to me?
I shouldn't be asking you this question because you might.
I typically do it, Bianca.
If you're going to cook spaghetti properly, you should probably check to see that you have the ingredients, right? And and that you're functioning, you're good to go. I think if you're planning to get a puppy, if you're thinking about impulse buying a puppy, there are some practical items you should get, and there's some plans you should put in place before you bring the puppy home. One thing would be a trainer. I think sometimes people get a puppy. Remember 2 years ago I had like 50 puppy lessons because we had way too many people who got a puppy and they bit me and I need help right now. And all of a sudden I was like, I feel like an emergency room for people who are impulse buying puppies. And I think we're not going to be an emergency room anymore. You have to wait a couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
So you should maybe get in touch with the trainer before...
But some people do, just a wrong trainer. But go on.
He's not lying.
You should get in touch with the trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole different subject to talk about when... One, if you get a puppy, do not ask your Facebook friends what to do with them. Your Facebook friends probably trained one dog to go in a kennel and sit... when the UPS driver comes, and they probably have not trained 57 plus dogs, and they're going to tell you the one experience or the two experiences that, again, all dogs are not created equal. They might give you advice that just is not really professional advice.
I see that all the time on Facebook when people
do not ask Facebook for dog training advice. It's just not a good idea. They might tell you something that worked for them that will really hurt you and make your situation worse.
Are you going to talk about what you should do?
That's a different conversation. Yeah. I will, but I keep getting interrupted by you two. So practical items for a plan for your puppy. A kennel. Do not go buy a Great Dane-sized kennel for a 14-pound doodle. A crate. It's a kennel. What would you like me to specify between a kennel or a crate?
Well, for me, a kennel is usually...
I'm sorry about all the editing you'll have to do to get the meat and potatoes in this section.
Well, the outside is where I put my dogs in a kennel.
You. That's what you call it.
Inside, I have a crate. I don't have a kennel in the house.
Rio has a kennel in the house.
She has
that
a crate.
Is a wire kennel.
Wire crate in my world, but go ahead.
Tomato, tomato.
A kennel, an appropriate sized kennel for your dog. Outdoor fencing. If you are bringing a puppy home and you don't have a fence, you have some things to consider.
An outdoor kennel.
an outdoor kennel. Or an outdoor pen, a playpen. That's realistic for your dog. If you have a German Shepherd, you probably don't want to get one of those 18-inch tall X pens because they're going to get out of it pretty quickly and they might break their leg. Are you bored? Do we need to cut and have intermission?
I might go get a puppy when you get done.
I think that this is a silly one, but you should plan on spending a lot of time outside. You might buy a lawn chair if you don't have one.
Or a cot.
Yeah.
No, don't get a cot.
Something to chill outside. Let your puppy run around on a long line, or if you have appropriate fencing, let them just be a puppy and sniff outside. Give them a couple toys. Let them just be a dog outside. Don't let them just be a dog in
your
house.
Or send them to us for a couple months.
Okay, not my point. practical bed for teaching place. I think everyone goes and gets the coziest, cutest puppy bed. And it's pretty likely you're going to spend $300 on puppy beds in the next 6 months because they're going to eat them. They're going to pee on them. They're going to throw up on them. They're going to chew them.
Unless you get a good one like we use.
I think, you know how when you're watching the evening news, they go to a different segment and, like, the sports guys don't get to talk when the weather people are talking.
Well, okay. You asked me to answer.
Are you adding valuable input?
I am. Very valuable. You can go spend $10,000 in trainers that don't know what they're doing.
A proper fitted collar. Don't go get a big giant harness that your dog is going to slip backwards out of. And oh shit, Fluffy just went down to the neighbor's house and is chasing their cat on Highway 99. Get a properly fitted collar. You should be able to put the collar on the dog and pull it this way, and it should not come over their head. They shouldn't be able to back out of it and slip out of it. You should have a properly fitted collar, a leash, and a long line. A harness or a crate to secure your dog in the car. Not a harness to wear for fun, to buckle them in, or a crate for the car. Something safe and appropriate for them to chew. I was walking down the toy aisle today, and there was a slipper with a squeaker in it. A dog toy. A slipper! If you want your dog to learn to chew on your slippers, go buy that. It's at Wilco. Sorry, Wilco. Lots of appropriate toys at Wilco that your puppy could chew. Get something appropriate for them to chew. Don't get something they're going to shred 52 of them into 5 million
pieces. Sound like you're on your soapbox
preaching
right now.
Marvin, then you should have a plan for these practical items. You should have a plan for what your routine is going to look like. If you're off for the summer and you're going back to school, you should kind of have in mind what your plan is for transitioning from summer to back to school. Off work, back to work. Plan your boundaries. So if you don't want your dog to sleep in the bed and on the couch, why let him up there now? Why start that habit? Plan if you're going to let them bark at the door, if you're going to let them free-range the whole house and chew on shoes, and if there's certain areas of the house they're allowed to go into, if they're allowed to just free-range and get into everything in your house, you should plan your boundaries and maybe have a professional help you with that. And then the things that I think everyone gets a puppy, you say this all the time, everyone gets a puppy to cuddle, snuggle, buy things for, spoil, share with their friends, share publicly. It's this new, fun, fluffy thing. Look, I got a puppy. Do you want to pet it? You're literally yawning while I'm talking about puppies.
I was yawning a while ago. It's
terrible. I think that one of the first things you should teach is how to be calm. So plenty of crate time. Don't do things that the typical dog owner does that creates a bunch of bad habits. You take your puppy on a walk in the neighborhood. Everyone says, oh, can my dog say hi? And you say, oh, yeah, they can say hi. And you're teaching your dog that when you go for a walk, you just pull me towards every dog you see and you get to sniff noses and butts and then we go on to the next walk. You're either going to have really good luck and your dog doesn't get chewed on, bullied, or attacked and they actually just go hi and sniff butts with dogs. Let's say it's the safest luck, you don't have a dog fight, you're still creating a habit that when you go on a walk, you drag your owner to every dog you want to say hi to. Same thing with people. If you take your puppy on a walk and you let everyone you walk by say hi, and you let the puppy drag you to them, your puppy's learning, I go out on the sidewalk to run and say hi to people and get pet and sniff butts. Right?
How do you avoid that?
Walk. I tell people that was a smart ass answer. I tell people to start leash training in the house and in your yard.
Yes.
Don't go out into the crazy neighborhood. And if you are, I'm not saying don't take your dog out on a sidewalk walk, but if you're going to go out to your neighborhood, if you have a busy dog friendly neighborhood, don't go at 5 o'clock when everyone's home.
But if you have an 8, 9, 10, 12-week-old puppy in my world...
That's not leash-trained. Well, but doesn't understand the leash.
If it is, I wouldn't take it in that environment because I'd be worried about parvo and stuff, you know. So I think that, like you said earlier with the puppies, you're just kind of setting them up to not win if you take them out and all of that when they're not leash-trained.
Yeah. That's all.
You done?
Yep.
That's pretty quick. Painless. You know, I was talking to someone today about, maybe it was Akko. I was trying to do something, and I didn't get it done, and I just went on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you didn't win that. I was like, no, I didn't win that little battle, but I'll win the war. You know, does that make sense? I'll go back to it.
If you're not winning with a dog, you don't necessarily have to win that one item.
No.
You just need to move on to something else. To make sure the dog you're not unclipping their leash and saying, you know what, go have a piece of cheese.
Yeah. I always talked about it with my cow dog training world. When I got up against it and I couldn't win, you know, and I didn't win a lot of times because I was like cattle tearing down fences and getting bucked off a horse or getting bit by my own dog or whatever, you know, I would try to go back to something that was solid and train on that for a hot minute and then go on. And as one of my notes from back years ago is, what if I get stuck while training, you know? Back up, like I said earlier, and do something that you can do, and your dog's confident in you, and you're confident in your dog, and do that. And then maybe have a little bit of fun with your dog, and put your dog up, and do it again the next day, you know? But sometimes you got to go back to it when you're in a better state of mind. And, you know, like last night, I was pretty pissy there for a while. And then I finally got over it, you know, but... Well, I don't know when I'll get over it, but I'm kind of done with it right now. It's not like beating a dead horse going to do you any good. But I think even with that, I got to not go get a dog out to train because I was aggravated.
Right.
So people have to do that, too, whenever you're in that situation. If you come home from work and late and you're tired and aggravated and had a hard day, don't take your little puppy out and start training on it.
Mm-hmm.
Go out in the pen like you was talking about and play with it.
Yeah, go put it on a long line and let it wander around your backyard.
Have some fun.
Sit on a lawn chair and relax.
It's not end of the world if you don't train on your little puppy every day all the time, you know. So, all right, you got anything you want to add, Bianca?
Nope.
All right, well, we're going to bail off here. And I guess we're going to start doing this on Instagram.
Yeah.
For now.
Okay. So this guy watches on Instagram. Do they get notifications still?
If you follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, so go to Instagram and follow us. And go to YouTube and hit that subscribe button. We're still trying to get a million subscribers, and we're a little bit short. So go on there and subscribe and hit the like button on there. On Instagram, TikTok, you know, Facebook, everything. And we've got a lot of these Brett put on podcasts on Spotify and Apple. So somebody the other day
said... Do we have any new comments?
Somebody really was listening to us the other day, and they said they learned a lot by listening to our podcast.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of cool to hear. So, Brett, we got any comments?
Nope, but just a bunch of new people chiming in.
All right.
That's exciting.
So. Yeah. So
thanks for joining us.
Yeah, and we're going to bail off here, and we'll probably be on next week. I don't know, whenever the mood hits.
Beginning of the week, probably.
Yeah, Brett will let you know. So, everybody, thanks a lot, and have a good evening.
Thanks for listening to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast. If you found this information helpful, we suggest following even more of our dog training tips and resources on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher.